Good morning. Welcome as we come to worship today. Whether you join us in person or indeed online, we bid you a warm welcome as we come to the last in our series, Journeys of Faith, today as we look at the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys. Let's just pray as we begin. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name as a family, as a body of believers in this place. But Lord, help us by your Spirit not to simply gather to attain more knowledge or to spend time together, but to be transformed by your truth and by your Spirit working together. Come and be about your business, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This morning's reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, beginning to read at the first verse. Timothy joins Paul and Silas. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him, because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Heather. So this is the last in our series of faith journeys, this journey through Lent. We're coming up to Holy Week as it begins next Sunday. And so this is the last week of this particular series, is because as we saw before, Lent is that time of reflection and preparation, of spiritual renewal, of inviting us into a deeper journey of what the Easter story is all about. We've looked at Abraham's story about faith and obedience. If you look at the story of Moses and the exodus of God's people from Egypt, about deliverance and trust. If you looked at Elijah's story, that moment where Elijah found renewal and encounter with the very presence of the living God with him. But Jesus' journey into the wilderness, how he faced temptation, but he relied on God's word and God's spirit. He overcame body, mind and spirit. He overcame. And last week, Johnny helped us to understand that journey of the disciples. That Jesus does not want to leave us in despair. He draws alongside us. That discipleship is journeying together, not alone. And so these journeys of faith are not about us going out in our own way, at our own speed, both of those put together. There's a new word for us. But it is about doing it together. And we're all in different stages of our journeys with God, as we already prayed today. But yet, the important bit is we're on a journey with God. So today we look at Paul's journey. The Apostle Paul, known through the New Testament. Paul, who used to be Saul. So this was the early church's greatest adversary and enemy. He destroyed churches, he killed Christians. And then on the road to Damascus, he was blinded, and he received sight, and he saw God, he saw Jesus. He received salvation. He became one of the key people in the establishment of the early church. And so as you read through these pages of the Acts of the Apostles and into Philippians and Ephesians and all of those, you see Paul's missionary journeys. You see how he has went and planted these churches, how he's grown communities of faith. And this is one of these passages, just one of these passages that we look at today. There are lots of them. But mission was the heart of the early church. Mission was at the heart of the early church. Is it on your heart? Is it in my heart? Well, what is mission? Now, I would imagine if I took the microphone and went round everybody and asked you to give me a definition of what you believe mission to be, we would have nearly 100 different versions of what mission is. Some of them would overlap a little bit, but we have a different understanding of what it might be. For some, it's the idea of going to a foreign country and telling people who have never heard about Jesus, about Jesus. We talk about going on mission trips, don't we? For others, mission is very close at heart. Mission is that moment where we are sharing Jesus with our friends and our family, with our community. For others, mission is being involved in an organization locally that wants to show and share in a very practical way the love of Jesus. For others, mission is actually praying for all of those things because they are unable to do it physically themselves, and so they remain to pray over and for all of those missionary endeavors. So why is Paul always held up as one of these big examples of what mission's all about? Well, Paul's missionary journeys demonstrate the importance of listening to God, listening to his direction, and then responding to his call. Paul didn't just sort of listen and then go, aye, that was a really good idea, God, maybe one day. Paul heard. He listened, he heard, and then he did. Because mission is not passive. Mission is active. I wonder, how do we hold back from doing the mission that God has given to us and for us? Verse 9 says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. This vision of this man from Macedonia, this moment where God dropped something into the mind of Paul, enabled Paul to go and do something in Jesus' name. It gave him new opportunities to share and to show who Jesus was. God can and does drop ideas into each of our heads. Now, sometimes I have to try to filter that a wee bit and think, is that just a really stupid idea that James Boyd's dreamt up? Or is that really something that God is giving to me? And we probably all have to try to do that. And the difficulty in that is that sometimes we hold back because we convince ourselves that we shouldn't be doing it. Maybe God has dropped an idea into your head, a face, or a name of a person. Maybe you've taken time to phone them or drop them a text or call at their door, not knowing what that's about, but understanding that God had given that to you, but not knowing why or how or the impact that it would have, you were obedient in doing it. I know what happens sometimes to me. I tried to recall a couple of times in one sense, but it happens not every day, but it does happen. And I would say it happens with you too. I remember there's a curate in Marlin out doing some fizzling one day, and all of a sudden, not in my plans to go and see someone, but the image of a face came into my head, and I thought, fair enough. And I drove to the next call that I had planned and the next call that I had planned, but every time I came out of a house, this person's face was in my mind, and I thought, I need to go and see this person. Knocked the door. He normally knocked the door and walked in, because this individual was normally either static on a chair or in bed. So the door was always open. You knocked it, you opened it, you shouted, and you went in. Opened it, shouted, went in, and very faintly heard help coming from the bedroom. Now, whenever I knocked the door and went into the bedroom, as normal, found the individual in bed, snuggled up and everything, with a blanket and a duvet all around him. But what this individual didn't like to let her family know was that she would sometimes like a wee... and so sometimes, if somebody came to see her, she'd get them to turn off the oxygen tank so that she could have a wee... But someone had been there a few hours earlier, turned it off, and she forgot to ask them to turn it back on again. I wonder, and that's quite a dramatic thing in that face dropping into my head going that day to turn on an oxygen tank. But there are other times whenever someone's face or name has come into my head, even just this week, and you drop a simple little text and you say, I've been praying for you, and it opens a conversation. I want to encourage you, if you think God is placing an image of a person or a name in your head, be brave and simply just respond to it and see what he has in it for you. Because mission is not about we have to go hundreds of miles. Often God calls us to be mission right here in our own community. Like the wee conversation I had during our kids' talk earlier. There are many of our children on mission for God in this church. There are many of our young people on mission for God in this church, and we don't see or hear those things, but as we approach Easter, we're going to hear and see more of those stories, because it's important as we journey in faith that we hear the stories that are happening right here, right now. Grounding it in our community and for us as a church. God calls us to participate in his mission. That's non-negotiable. I have read the scriptures and I don't seem to find anywhere where it says that God says, come and journey with me, and then sure, that'll be all you'll need to do. He often says, come, journey with me, receive grace and forgiveness for your sin, receive a new life at the foot of the cross, and then the journey spans in front of us. An adventure spans in front of us. We are called to declare how great is our God, as we've just sung. The splendor of the King. Because as we discern that God is speaking to us, and as we are obedient to that voice, God opens new doors just as he had done for the Apostle Paul. We are called, like the Apostle Paul and like others in the scriptures, to go beyond our own comfort zones for the sake of the gospel. And for each of us, as we said before, we're in a different stage of our journey with God. So for each of us, our comfort zones will be different, and what we are called to do will be different. So please don't compare yourself to someone else. And for some unknown reason that we find in verse 7, when they came to the border of Misra, they tried to enter Bithynia. Heather pronounced those words much better than me, so thank you, Heather. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Over the decades and centuries of church history, we now use a very colloquial phrase of God closes the door. And sometimes we don't understand why, but he does. I've shared before, whenever we were coming out of our curacy, we did think, actually, maybe that we were being drawn to come here to Deira Volga. But instead, God closed that door and he opened it for Stephen McElhinney. But yet God reopened the door a number of years later. We don't always understand why God closes doors. But often with hindsight, as we look back, we understand and know that it's for a good reason and for a good season. And for yous as a congregation, Stephen was the best opportunity for yous in those years. But as we're called to mission, as we're called to do things in the name of Jesus and for the name of Jesus, then we're to let others know about it. When my daughters were born, I'm a very blessed man living in a house full of females. And when my daughters were born, I didn't hide the fact that they were born. I didn't be quiet about it. I told everybody I could find. Did you know I've got a daughter? Did you know we've had another daughter? Did you know? Do you want to see them? Look, I've got pictures. I shouted to the world that I'd got daughters. I shouted it to the world. Why are we so reticent about shouting about Jesus sometimes? If he is the best thing for us, why are we so reticent about shouting about him, about sharing him and showing him to the people around us? My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. Peace in a troubled sea. And as Paul shouted about Jesus, as Paul was obedient to mission in his context, hear what happened, verse 5. So the church was strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. Oh, that would be the case here, oh Lord. But note, the church is strengthened first, and then it grows in numbers. Because as the church is strengthened, little people, young, and not so young, share what God is doing and invite others to come on the journey. So who are you going to invite to come on a journey this Easter? And maybe just in that moment, there's a little name or a little face that's dropped into your mind. Don't dismiss it. Go and do it in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you call us to journey with you. And in calling us to journey with you, you call us into a closer relationship with you. And in calling us into a closer relationship with you, we want to shout about you. And so if we shout about you and invite others to come, we pray that your spirit be at work in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray together as we close. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, seek, or would even dare to imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.